This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I'm so glad you guys decided to join with me today. And I'm really excited because I've got a great topic, first of all, that I want to talk to you guys about today. And before I do, I want to tell you, you know, we've got this dynamic program. It's called Hot Off the Press Book Club. And basically what we're doing today is every month I write a brand new book. Can you believe it? I'm writing a brand new book every month, a full-size, full-length book every month, and I'm really encouraging people to get on our program, because Hot Off the Press Book Club is actually an invitation for you to get into my mind, to really discover the deep things and the revelations that God is giving me written down in book form. And so every month you'll get actually a brand new book sent to you, to your house. You'll get it at the same price every month. It's actually like a cut price. It's $15, and no matter how much more the books are, you don't have to pay a penny more. You get it for $15. Plus, you get free shipping every single month, guys. And what's great about that is you also get a free ebook of that book sent your email free of charge. And so that's about a $10 value. So, and plus, one more thing, you're also getting a personal autographed book copy of it. And what's great about that is you're going to get the book autographed personally to you every month before we even release it to the public. So how cool is that, guys? So once again, you get a personal autographed, first one to receive it, free shipping, free ebook. Are you with me? And you get the actual price that is actually a set price for you, no matter how much more expensive. And so you don't pay a penny more than $15, the set rate you pay every month. And so everyone is joining up with this book club. Guys, we've got so many people. I want to encourage you guys, if you have not got on it yet, you need to get on it today. It's going to totally bless your life, I guarantee you guys. So think about that. Now, check this out. Today, I'm going to talk to you guys about something that has really been burning in me for a long time, and people don't realize it's actually been sort of the backbone of my ministry, the backbone of the foundation, for lack of better words, of everything I've ever preached, everything I've ever taught. Now, we talk about law of attraction so much, and this is going to incorporate a huge amount of law of attraction within the message today, but I'm going to take a different route to show you guys exactly the foundation that you have to take in order for you to begin to track things into your world, okay? Now, I've called this and titled this today, Religion is Poison. Religion is poison. Religion brings separation. Think about that. Religion brings separation. Because one of the things I've seen within Christianity, and really people all over the world, even within other religions, I see this happening. With other cultures, you know, tribes, background. I mean, I see the background of pretty much the majority of people, especially within the church today, is the power of separation. Now, when we look back in the New Testament, we read a lot of great things when it deals with, you know, Jesus of Scripture walking on the water. You know, we deal with him healing the sick, raising the dead. We deal with all these amazing signs, wonders, and miracles that are so powerful and so relevant for us today. But one thing I do read also is I also tend to read about the Pharisees and Sadducees. And if you think about the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were promoting so many things of their own agenda. You know, basically, they were promoting the idea that they're better than everyone else. They're promoting all these different ideologies that actually were sort of anti-Christ. You know, everything that Christ came to represent, it's like they wanted to present the other side of something that was totally opposite. And because they wanted people to feel inferior, wanted the people to feel as if they'll never be good enough, you know, to be what they are. And one of the main things I see is the dangers of today that has infiltrated the church like crazy. And that is the power of separation. Because they wanted people to feel as if they're separate from God. Now, that crossed over into the ideology of Christianity. And which basically for centuries now, it's been that thing of, I'm unworthy, I have nothing, I am nothing, I'm so worthless, I'm not even worth a piece, I'm not even, you know, worthy enough to be considered a piece of dirt. I mean, just all this unworthiness that is so, so anti-God. But then you get into the place of really feeling as if everything's separate from you. Now, as you guys know, as a prophet, I prophesy to people all day long. Like every day, all day long, even between my sessions on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which are my life coaching sessions with people. And if you haven't got a life coaching session with me, you need to set it up today, because I can target some things in your life, pinpoint them, and give you the word of the Lord on them that will change your life forever. But my point is, I prophesy all day long. And I hear people, I talk to people all the time, who always brings this mentality in my life coaching sessions, and that is, did I do something wrong? Why would you think you do something wrong, ma'am or sir? Because I can't hear God. I can't feel God. You know, is God angry? Is God mad at me? Did God walk away from me? Did I get out of God's will? Am I not aligned in God? Am I not postured, positioned? You know, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I hear this all the time. And it's to me, it's a problem. It's a major bad problem that to me, I feel is anti-Christ. It's anti-Jesus. It's anti-New Testament, because Jesus even said, you know, I pray, God, that they're one as we're one. And the point he's making is he wasn't praying, hey, God, by the way, include them, make them one, because I know they're not worth anything, but make them one anyway. What he was basically doing is bringing affirmation, a declaration within that prayer. And what that means is, hey, God, we're one and they're one. I just want them to see that. So here's the idea that he was bringing forth, or the fact of that prayer is, God, since we're one and they're one with you, but they need to have a reality of that. They need to understand, they need to know that their oneness with you, God, can't be separated. And so we read in the scripture things such as, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, let's look at that verse for a moment. Did God ever say in that verse, I will never leave you, but you better straighten up, unless you don't straighten up and fly right? Did he ever say, I will never forsake you, but I'll tell you right now, you better do this? You know, no. There is no if, ands, or buts to that statement. When he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, that's once again a powerful separation, for lack of better words, of the word leave and forsake. Which means, first of all, I'll never leave you. That's a done deal. I'll never ever leave your side. I'll never leave being in you, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'll never leave you, period. But I'll never forsake you. And the word forsake here is letting you know that forsake is a different word from leave. Which means, look, you can get mad at me. You can slip up and cuss, you know, and say a bad cuss word. You can get mad at me. You can run the other day and not pray. You can feel as if you didn't pray enough. You can feel as if you didn't, you know, get on your knees enough. You can feel as if you didn't go to church Sunday enough. And the idea is, what he's letting you know is, I'm not going to forsake you, which means no matter what action you take, it's not going to happen. And so, and then here's what's great about science. I love science because it backs it up. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who is my landscaper, who is a dynamic guy, good friend of mine, and he was telling me the same thing. He said, I just don't understand. He said, like, why do people have a problem and why do they feel fear? Well, sort of, you know, we were talking about something totally different. And so I took a different approach and I said, look, I said, Mark, I said, here's the key thing. I said, even science backs these points up. He said, what do you mean? I said, science backs up the fact of quantum physics. I said, atoms can be one side of the universe, and atoms can be the other side of the universe, and they still vibrate the same frequency. What one atom does, the other one does on the opposite side of the universe, in the motion it makes. And basically, we can prove scientifically that everything's one. I mean, like, if I'm energy made up of energy, you're made up of energy, guess what? We might look at each other and say, we're separate, we have separate lives, we don't have the same skin color, you know, one's bigger than the other, one's taller than the other, one has hair, one doesn't have hair. The truth is, all that is not what we go by, because we're told not to go by what we see or feel. So that is totally irrelevant. It's irrelevant. And the reason why, because God wants you to understand, it's irrelevant of what you see and feel, because the truth is, the foundation behind what you cannot see and what you cannot feel is the truth. That's your true foundation. Your true foundation is the fact that you're energy, you're light, which means energy can't really be separated in the sense of that if you look at me and you, we're actually one. And we are. I mean, if you put us into a different dimension as far as seeing us, you wouldn't see, you know, elements of us separated. And that's where we get confused. And what's interesting about that is it's almost like it's a prophecy within itself. It's sort of a declaration letting us know that when you look in the eyes of what you see and what you feel, in other words, if I look through and trusted what my eyes see and believed it, that I'm no different than the Pharisee and Sadducee. Think about that. If I believe what I'm hearing, I am no different from the Pharisee and Sadducee. Why? Because I see separation. You're over there, I'm over here. You know, the bedroom's over there, living room's over here. You know, my car's over there, I'm over here. And the truth is, there's no separation. Energy is energy. Energy's connected. And what that means is do we have different frequencies and vibrations of energy? Absolutely. But yet you're forgetting that energy really can't be separated. And so knowing that, you realize that everything's atoms. The whole universe is nothing but pure atoms. Electrons, neutrons, protons. And so there's no separation. And that means for us, as believers, it even enhances the power of attraction. It enhances the understanding that everything Jesus said, everything the New Testament stood for, everything that happened on the cross, everything that happened, period, is, look, dude, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you don't believe me, look in the unseen realm. I'll prove it to you. So when we close our eyes and we understand by faith that I don't have to feel and see atoms, I don't have to see things vibrating, which I can put things under a microscope and I can see a vibration. That's easy to understand, frequencies. And so we have to come to that realization that if I get into the unseen realm, then I'm really getting into God. I'm getting into the things that God even backed up in His Word. And what science backs up is that you're one. And that's why when you look at your life, you can't look at your life and say, there's that prophetic word I received. Now I've got to work hard to get to it, to become it. Here's the key thing. As I always encourage people and I always tell people, you've got to become your word of the Lord. Because it's easier for people to understand. It's easier to say, you've got to become that word, than it is basically to give them this entire sermon to understand, or this entire podcast to realize, truthfully, you already are that word. I mean, if God spoke it into that frequency level, or that vibration or energy, whatever you want to call it, you can use Christian terminology with me. You know, you can say anointing, power, whatever you want to use. It's all the same stuff, folks. No matter what word, it's all the same stuff. You know, God is not picky on terminology. He's not picky on certain words. What he's picky on is the empowerment of the definition behind the word that you feed into it. That's what's more important. Remember the scripture, to the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled, all things are defiled. It is according to your empowerment of you seeing the eyes of God as something pure, or seeing the Christ in it, or the defilement of seeing the bad in it, the negative. The world's going to hell in the handbasket, whatever that's supposed to mean, you know, and people believe that, and you attract bad things into your world. You attract hellish things because you don't see the good in anyone. And guess what you'll attract? You'll attract people who will take advantage of you in your life. To the pure, who sees Christ in things, sees the good in things, guess what? They use wisdom. Absolutely, they use wisdom. But what happens is they attract, like myself, we attract things that are of what we're of that same frequency in which we're thinking. So if my foundation, for example, is seeing things as separate, not, you know, I have to read, work hard for it, you know, run to it, whatever phrase you want to use, then if I feel that way, don't you think I'm going to bring that over into my Christian walk? Don't you think I'm going to bring it over into my walk with God? I will. And what will happen is, once I sort of cross-pollinate that way of really horrible thinking into my Christian walk, then I too will begin to find myself saying, you know what, I don't feel God around me anymore. Oh, did He forsake me? Oh, is He mad at me? You know, as if God is like an emotional wreck and has a really bad chemical imbalance or something, or bipolar, or whatever word you want to use. And I don't mean to discredit those words, because I know that's genuine and people have a problem with bipolarness, and it breaks my heart. And so, once again, grace on that. But I'm using the word as an idea for people to get something, some type of idea that, you know, thinking that God is some kind of freak, you know, or has an emotional issue, you know, problem. You know, no, He's not. God is not that. I mean, God even transcends past gender and everything else. And so you have to look at that and realize that when if God is, and once again, don't get offended when I say this to you guys. When I say God is pure energy, it's not like, oh my God, don't call energy, you know, don't call God energy. Well, isn't that just as bad as calling God Father? Now you might say, well, the Bible says He's Father, brother. Well, I was about to say, you're right. That's because the Jewish culture understood the power of a man, and it was and was stronger than a woman, for lack of better words. It was an introduction of, you know, passing the birthright down to the first son. I mean, you know, it's a cultural thing. You know, it's not like God is up there saying, hey, guess what, guys? I'm a man. I got muscles, and I got the parts, the private parts a man has. No, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. God is trying to relate. God likes to relate to us. And He gives us ideas and figures and things about how we can relate to God, to say, I'm likened unto this. To where it's easier for you to wrap your brain around, to see, you know, the persona of what this means that I'm giving you as this image, to where it'll be easier for you to understand and feel comfortable with me and feel confident with me that I am who I say I am. That's why God has so many names in the New Testament, because all these different names as healer and sanctifier and, you know, protector, and all these different names, Elohim, El Shaddai, you know, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, you know, on and on and on. Lion, you know, He likens Himself unto a lion, likens Himself unto a lamb. I mean, you know, is God any of these things? No. God's not a lion, for God's sake. I mean, He's not an animal, you know. He's likening Himself unto these things so you can see the persona or the attitude that He's of these things He's projecting Himself as, till you get to know Him a little better. And so that's why when you have to look at God, you realize it's not offensive to say God is energy, God is light. I mean, He says, I am the light of the world. And light is, you know, another word for light basically is energy. Same thing. And so God is energy. So if energy can't be separated, then why are we trying to separate God from the energy of the creation in which He created? Hello? I mean, then if we say, well, you know, He did that for a reason. Well, if He did, then He's double-minded, unstable in all of His ways. I don't want to trust Him. Think about that. That means God is totally double-minded. I don't want to trust anyone who's unstable in all their ways. And that would be God if you believe that. But you can't separate God from His creation. There's no earthly way possible, and there's not even a kingly way possible, because God honors His word above His name, and what breathes out of God has God's particle and God's DNA in it. Just like we exhale and we inhale, God exhaled into man, and one day He's going to inhale and breathe it all back into Him, for lack of better words. Isn't that powerful? And so, and I said all that to let you know, you can't see God as separate. You can't see God from separate from you. He's bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. You know, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Which means if that's the case, we mimic that same attitude, we mimic that same personality, that persona. We imitate or carbon copy the exact same thing who Jesus is. And Jesus said He's the firstborn among many brethren. You know, that means He comes first, we come after Him, and whatever He does, we do that. Whatever He says, we adapt to that saying. Whatever He does, we do. Because we're small gods, for lack of better words, on planet Earth. And so what he's alluding to is, get this ridiculous mentality out of your brain. Because if you don't, every day of your life, here's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself working every day, working hard, pleasing God, as if God's an angry God, just saying, work for me, please, you know, please me, this angry God. If you don't please me, I'm going to strike you dead with plagues, you know. I mean, it's like that's a master to a slave mentality, like as if God has a whip, he's going to, you know, whip you or something. Not to get dirty-minded, I'm just saying he's going to whip you, like you're some kind of, you know, slave or something, you know, to him. I'm just saying you've got to begin to realize that's what it takes, that's what it goes down to, is when you see God in that mentality and you see God that way. God is nothing but pure love. There is nothing bad in God. And when you sit here and you say, well, what it actually is bad? Well, bad is not what bad is, what you think bad is anyway. I mean, you know, we can sit here and say, well, that's not what it really means in the Bible. It's not what it really means. Well, we get that on some things. You know, we get where it says women should sit separate from men and women should cover their head. We get that it doesn't mean it's not true, but for us, it's not true. That is not a truth for me. That is not a truth for me. So it's not wrong to say in the Bible, this verse is not a truth for me. You know why? It's a cultural truth. A cultural truth in Judaism that where they, the culture back in the day was women sat on the other side of the synagogue, you know, from men that kept their head covered. So it's their truth, not my truth. Can you get that today? How many of you read that verse and say, well, it's not for me today? What you're saying is, that's not my truth. Which means not every truth, I'm going to change your world here, guys and gals. That means not every truth is for you. So be careful when you adapt the full gospel, the whole Bible, to yourself. You need to be careful, and you need to thank God that you don't need to do that. Because if that's the case, you'd be stoned. You need to be stoned for being a false prophet or saying something didn't come to pass. You'd be stoned for even lusting after a woman. You know, I mean, Jesus even said if you've lusted, you're pretty much already done it in your heart. And so we could go on and on. But the point being is, you've got to get to that place where you understand that what Jesus was trying to display is, guys, listen, it's finished, it's done, it's wrapped up. You're not separate from God. You're in God. You're with God. You know, I'm in you, you're in me. So that's your foundation. And when you get that foundation laid, you'll never struggle again by feeling as if, oh my God, I didn't pray today. I don't feel God. Well, if you don't feel God, no big deal. You don't go what you see or feel anyway. God is the thing where you trust and you say, God is energy. Can I separate myself from energy? If I separated myself from energy, I would have to separate myself from myself. Because I'm energy as well. If God is light, guess what? Energy is light. And because of that, I have to look and say, can I separate myself from myself? Not at all. And so you have to get the reality. You have to begin to understand that pastors can put fear in you, and they can speak fear in you to get before God's presence. You better act right. You better pray all day long. The truth is, the only reason why you need to pray and read the Word is because you love God. And that means, you know, I don't do things out of have to. I do it out of love. Because the first greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God. If I love God, I just want to do things that pleases Him. I don't do it out of, now, I love you, so I better pray 3 times a day. I love you, so I better pray 7 times a day. That's, once again, then I've moved out of love into law. And law, the letter of the law, kills. And so I look at my life to say, no, my first priority is to love you, God. If I love you, then I'll do according to what you have for me to do. And what you have for me to do might not be what sister so-and-so over here has to do, or brother so-and-so over here has to do. It's my truth. My truth, because I'm led by the Spirit. The Bible doesn't even say you're led by the Bible. Folks, I'm getting real with you. You want Bible? I'm giving it to you. Bible doesn't even say, you know, be led by the Bible. It says you're led by the Spirit of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God will teach you your own truth according to the Word of God of what works for you, what is real for you, what is authentically, originally fashioned and formatted for you as your authentic self. Because I don't think like everyone else. So why would God give me something that's across the board like everyone else? Why? Because I'm not a number. If I was a number in God's kingdom, and then guess what? Then the same thing would work across the board for everyone. If it rains upon the just and the unjust, that means the rain that comes upon me, negative or positive, is going to be different for you because you process things differently from I do. You have a different lifestyle. You work differently. You married someone different. You might have more kids, less kids, no kids from me. You might live in a different country where you're barely surviving. I might live in a country where I'm thriving. I mean, the truth is, you can't say that. And so that's why I'm saying, when you understand your oneness with God, you will quit all of this stinking religious thinking from the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to get you to that place where you feel as if, you know what, I'm spiraling down today. I must not have done something right. What's wrong with God? Is He mad at me? The idea for you to even think that God is mad at you, honestly, is a warped concept. I'll be honest with you. It's not the God of the New Testament at all. You got to realize, when Jesus said it was finished, it means it's finished. You need to quit all this other, you know, going back to the Old Testament, thinking God's going to strike you, smite you, kill you with a plague, you know, bitter, angry. Can I really describe why the Old Testament says what it says? I really can't. And not one scholar on this entire planet can, because no one knows the heart of God. And no one knows why God does and did the things He did and the way He did them. But I will tell you this. Somehow, I can only go in that place of realizing it was all out of love. And somehow, God knew that people back in the day were so much more barbaric. Now, many of you might not watch Game of Thrones. And I'm not saying this is reality, because it's not. We don't have dragons around us. But I'm saying people back in the day were more barbaric. They didn't treat each other to dinner, give their wife roses. They didn't, you know, go to eloquent dinners. They didn't go to football games. And, you know, do they have games back then in sports? Yeah, but most of them were, you know, You know, hey, let's go to this arena and see who dies, see who kills each other. You know, that's what, that was their sports back in the day. And so you have to remember, back in the day, their paradigm, their mind was more barbaric. And because their mind was more barbaric, you know, they did, you know, God had to deal with them on a different scale than he does us today. And so you have to understand that when cultures change, personalities change. When personalities change, God doesn't change, but God has always set into motion how God will respond to cultures and different ages and different groups of people. So God is different, and the truths are different for me. So when I look at that and I say, you know, women today don't need to wear that, it's not their truth, then I can honestly turn around and also say, you know, that there are things that happened back in the day that are not my truths. And so because of that, I've got to begin to wrap my brain around the fact that, you know what, I don't have to adapt to everything the Bible tells me, because I have to understand some things are cultural. Some things are, you know, are set in stone of thousands of years ago for those people. Some people back in the day were more barbaric. So truths can transcend and shift and metamorphosize into the truth I need. But it doesn't mean the way it's said is going to be a truth for me today. And thank God it's not. All right, are you with me? And I think pretty much everybody in Christianity should know that. But just for those people who maybe need a little flare of revelation, there's your more revelation to even bring you a little bit more proof for you. And so I said all that for you to understand that you've got to settle in your brain that God is good, no matter what. God is pure, ultimate good. And if I love God and I love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to be okay. Because love transcends all the, is he mad at me? Are you mad at me? Are you did this? Am I, did I not do this? Did I not do it enough? Did I do this too much? And it goes to the place of trusting to know everything is together. Religion wants to separate me from God. Religion separates me from my promises. Religion separates me from my prophetic words. Religion separates me from prosperity. Religion separates me from health and healing and wholeness. Religion. Pharisees, Sadducees bring separation to make money off of you, to keep you seeking, to keep you knocking. Now, it doesn't mean we don't seek and knock, because I'm huge believers. I'm an advocate for action, you know, seeking and knocking and finding and running the race and all the other stuff. But you have to understand, I don't do it according to law. I do it according to me being a co-creator and attracting and manifesting into my world out of liberty, love, and grace, and having fun in God. And God's kingdom. That's what I do. And so I want you today to really examine yourself. Ask yourself the question, when is the last time I really asked, you know, God, are you mad at me? I don't feel you. Are you separate from me? You know, when do you ask yourself those questions? And when you do, you need to sit here and you need to ponder on that and say, why would I feel that way? Why would I think something so horrendous and so horrible and so twisted? That's not who I am. And change the way you think. Change the way you see your life. And realize when he says, I'll never leave you, he can't. He's bound himself to his word above his name. So he can't even leave you if he wanted to. That doesn't mean that, you know, can God do whatever he wants to? God can, but God's love says, I will myself never to do this against myself. Because I love you so much. And love is the ultimate key to the foundation of who God is. And so you need to think about the day. So get separation out of your mind. Get forsaking out of your mind. Get leaving out of your mind. Get all that stuff and realize God is one with me. And really God is one with everything. Because everything is God. And so when you get that, you'll find the biggest rest and peace to say, wow, you know what? I feel so much better now. And you should, because that's how powerful and how amazing God is to us and through his Son. So, hey, look, thank you so much for tuning in today to our podcast. You guys are awesome. I wanted to bring this truth, this revelation, you guys, to help each one of you to understand a little bit more about who God is in our lives and how much God really loves us. And if you get a chance, go to our website, sign up for the Hot Off the Press Book Club, be a partner of our ministry if you get a chance, tune into my Facebook Live on the Identity Network page of Facebook every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Central Time. Be a part of our programs. Get my courses. Get my books. I tell you the truth, guys. My life is what it is because I made myself be mentored and be taught. And I read and I read and I read. Smart people, rich people, successful people read. They studied to show themselves approved. So do that today. Have a blessed day. Don't forget to co-create with God today and this week about the life you desire to have in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.